Good morning. Good morning, everybody. Do come on in and take a seat. It's great to see you. It's great to be with you on this slightly chilly day. I'm joking. It's going to be warm, isn't it? But do you know what? It's great that we gather here today. It's great that we gather together. I want to give you all a warm welcome for as you join us in here and especially out on YouTube this morning. If you're tuning into us right now when we're live, good morning, or whether it's a catch-up, hello. Great that you could be with us. But we also welcome Dave and Michelle Mahon, all the way from Peru, and their wonderful children, Jonathan, Phoebe and Ruth. Welcome, guys. They've not come literally from Peru this morning. They've just come down from Barnsley, but that's a different story. But we're going to hear more from them later, and we'll get to know them a lot more as we go on. So, as we gather here this morning, we gather, first and foremost, to give praise and worship to our Lord. We gather in the presence of Christ himself, because we are that body of Christ. We come together, brothers and sisters, in unity with the power of the Holy Spirit. And so as we gather together, let's just be still for a moment. Let's just recenter our scattered senses upon the presence of God here this morning. His word, God's word, in Psalm 119, the psalmist says this. He says, "Blessed are you, O Lord, teach me your statutes. With my lips I declare all the rules of your mouth. In the way of your testimonies I delight as much as in all riches. I will meditate on your precepts and fix my eyes on your ways. I will delight in your statutes. I will not forget your word." And know that we are surrounded in Jesus' love. Know that it is he who will rise us up on the wings of the eagles. Know that it is he who will give all strength, power, security. And if we're unsure of who this is, who Jesus is, he says here, John writes about it. John says of Jesus, he says that it is he that has all authority. Jesus himself says, "I am the good shepherd. I know my own and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father." And this is the assurance he gives. He says, "I lay down my life for the sheep." And he says further on about his life that he lays it down that he may take it up again, because nobody takes it from him. But he lays it down of his own accord, and he has authority to lay it down, and he has the authority to pick it up again, because this is the charge that he received from the Father. This is Jesus Christ, who has all authority, who willingly laid his life down, who so lovingly did it for all, for you and for me, for all of us, and for all generations to come. This is the Jesus we talk about. This is the Jesus that we sing about. This is the Jesus that we praise and declare and decree aloud together, that Christ is King. Lord, we give glory to your name this morning. We lift your name upon high. Lord, we come to you. We know that your love surrounds us no matter what we're going through. But that we want to see you face to face. As we just said earlier, the authority and the power that Jesus has, he laid it all down so that all can be raised to life. Because it continues in there and it says that he gave life so we could have it and have it to the full. That yes, we may find ourselves broken. Yes, we may find ourselves down at times and broken. But yet he did all of this so that we will be raised to life. So come and know this morning, as we meet with Jesus face to face, as we know that God is here, his Spirit breathes new life in us this day, that we too are raised to life, because all power and authority rests upon and within him. For he is within the Father, and the Father is within him, just as he is in us, as we are in him. Lord, we declare and praise your name this morning. We want to praise your name, Lord. We want to lift your name upon high and give you all glory and honor this morning. Lord, would you receive this offering of praise and thanksgiving to you this morning? May it be a delight to your ears. May it be a triumphant sound ringing out in the echoes and the choruses of your heavenly anthems. And all the angels declare that Jesus is Lord. Lord, thank you. We bless your name. Amen. Well, it gives me great pleasure to introduce to us all Dave and Michelle Mahon, all the way from Peru, Iquitos. Am I saying that right? Iquitos. Iquitos. Hua. Spanish is never good. It's Spanish, isn't it? Yeah, that's good. So I'm getting some of it right. Me and languages don't get on. Not even English sometimes. But I just want to invite Dave and Michelle up, and if the children want to come up as well, Jonathan, Ruth and Phoebe. You don't have to if you don't want to. No? Okay, that's fine. Go on, Jonathan, well done. Taking one for the team. And Phoebe, excellent. Well done, bless you. Okay, that's fine. Yeah. I was looking back and I was saying with Dave and Michelle earlier that it is almost a year ago, around the 6th, 7th of July, that we got in touch with BMS as we were looking, praying and discerning for supporting another family. As you know, we supported the previous family. I do know, but I won't mention it with YouTube. And we got in touch and we was praying. And as we know, we have strong links with Peru. There were Alan and Eva for many, many years, serving faithfully in Peru. And then also his son, Paul, who continues to serve in Peru with Latin Link. And so it's God's leading, I guess, where we came to the decision, if you like, his guidance, that we wanted to support you guys. And it's just fantastic to be able to have you with us today to share of all what's doing in Peru and how God is leading you into transforming people's lives with the gospel of Christ. You're both Baptist ministers. How did you come to work with BMS, in particular out in Peru?
So I grew up in Nigeria, and when I was 19, I moved to England with my family. And when we moved, I met Dave at our church youth group. And God kind of put it on my heart to go back to a country like Nigeria, a third world country, a developing country, to serve him in Jesus' name. And so I got trained as a youth minister, got ordained within the Baptist Union of Great Britain as a youth specialist, and got a master's in pastoral ministry, alongside being married to Dave. And I said to him, one day, God's going to send us abroad. We're not going to stay in England. We're going somewhere else where people need us to serve them in the name of Jesus. Now, he wasn't too keen on that idea at first. Do you want to carry on?
Yeah, I think while she was a student minister, we were serving at Westbourne Park Baptist Church in Paddington. And I kind of had a job, and I was working in IT, sales and marketing. That was my sort of background for the last 20 years. But I sensed that God was calling me into pastoral ministry, so I had to go to Bible college. And it's funny, because when I finished work, one of my friends gave me a Paddington Bear, and it's actually this one here. Yeah. Wow. And it's interesting because he gave me this because I started my ministry as a student minister in Paddington. Yeah. But it was in 2016 in my pastorate in Southeast London, where I was minister there with my wife as a youth minister, that God spoke to me profoundly from that passage in Genesis chapter 12, verse 1, which speaks about the call of Abraham. Yeah. And it was as God spoke to me, it was time to lay down the ministry, lay down the manse, and my kids were quite young. And that was when it was time to start thinking about where he was going to take me. We weren't sure where that was at the time, but it was a time to, well, you could see what God is like, isn't it?
There's no coincidence, is there? No. But God instances, and working in Paddington, having Paddington, and then going on out to Peru as well.
Yeah.
Sorry, carry on.
Yeah, so I had to tell the church that it was time for me to move on. And then I had to tell my in-laws, I had to tell my mum, who lived 10 minutes away, that she wasn't going to see the grandchildren for birthdays, which was really tough and still is very tough. But we approached BMS, and there was a position. You know, God is so wonderful and sovereign. There's a position for a pastor to minister to pastors within the association in Iquitos. The Baptist Church is in Iquitos. That's kind of what I do. And then there was a role for a youth minister, which what she's qualified to do in the jungle. So that's what we did, and we started our training in 2016 with BMS World Mission for a year, cross-cultural training, and then we went to Arequipa for language training. Yeah. And that's kind of how...
5 years now.
We've been there five years now.
In Peru, 5 years.
Fantastic. And so what is it like in Iquitos, and how do you see God at work in the transformational grace, gospel of Jesus?
Well, Iquitos is a sprawling city in the middle of the jungle. Around us, there's lots of nature and flora and fauna and animals and all of that exciting stuff. But in the city of Iquitos, it's very polluted, loud, noisy, a lot of poverty, a lot of need. And that is where we call home. The people there are so warm and friendly. They have received us into their community, and we serve them by teaching and training leaders. So we're raising up Peruvians for church ministry. We have a Bible school in a place called Nauta, which is 2 hours away north of Iquitos. And then we support the churches with women's ministry, youth ministry, preaching, evangelism ministry, anything that the church needs in order to grow stronger. So we are there to do ourselves out of a job. We're there to share all our knowledge, our training, our wisdom, our experience with the local people, and then we will say bye-bye, and they will carry on as if we were never there. Wow. That's the whole plan. That's the whole plan. That's what we're aiming to do. And by God's grace, we're seeing some fruits of that happen. People becoming more confident in God's calling on their lives. I'm called to be an evangelist. I'm called to be a children's worker. And we'll say, yeah, go on, you can do it. Here's this scripture. Here's this book. Here's this advice. You can do it. Go, go, go. And we're seeing people doing that. You know, gradually we're starting to see fruits appear. And we want to see more of that.
Fantastic. Fantastic. Yeah. Anything to add to that? Yeah. That is what we're called to be, isn't it? That is what God calls us to be, faithful servants, disciples of Christ, and he will guide us and lead us to where he wants us. And often that's a difficult thing, isn't it? As you were saying, how do you tell your in-laws and your parents that you're going, for want of a better way, other side of the world? To lead in a strange land. But this is what God calls us to. When God calls and when God stands, we said before, who can stand against?
Amen.
We can't. How can we be praying for you guys? Is there anything in particular as you continue maybe your UK visit or when you're certainly back in Iquitos in Peru?
So there's probably a couple of things that come to mind. Firstly, we are on what's called home assignment, which some people think is furlough when we're resting and we're spending time with family, but actually it's work. So we are traveling church to church. We have a total of around 17 or 18 churches, plus our home church to visit in a period of 2 months. So pray that God would give us strength, creativity as we travel up and down the country, one, and that we would really communicate God's heart for each place where God would place us, because we don't want to just get up and give a presentation. We want to communicate the heart of God to the people of God. That's the first thing. Secondly, pray for, so many things. We live in a country which is just falling apart, okay? Things just don't work all the time. Pray that God would give us perseverance to continue, and also that pray that God would give us a continual love for the people.
Yeah.
Because if that love disappears, we can't really be his hands and feet. So just those are the real core things.
Yeah.
I mean, Michelle could tell you more. She homeschools the children. You know, that's not easy.
No.
But those are the main things I would say this morning.
Yeah.
Let's pray. Come on, let's pray. Yes, Father God, we thank you for hearing the amazing testimonies of Dave and Michelle, Lord, how you first called them all those years ago. Lord, how you equipped them, how you taught them, how they faithfully listened and discerned your word through the power of your Spirit. And Lord, that transformational journey that took them from their homeland to a country far off, but yet, Lord, a place where they're seeing amazing transformations in lives through your work. Lord, would you give them the patience? Would you give them the tenacity, the understanding, Lord? Would you give them the strength and the encouragement to keep doing your work? Lord, would you help them keep a strong heart and a love for your people? Because as Dave says, if often that grows weak, the work grows weak. So Lord, we just pray that you will continually anoint them, that you would continually fill them each day with the power of your Spirit, that they would step out in the boldness in Christ, and they would declare aloud that he is risen, he is alive, and that he is hope, and that hope is Lord Jesus. Lord, we want to continue seeing those shoots of life and fruitfulness come to fruition. We want to see, Lord, lives transformed and people rising up in their places, as Michelle says, to do themselves out of your work because someone else will come in and do that, just as Jesus did with his disciples. Lord, as they're making disciples, who will make disciples? And so your work continues. And Lord, until you return again. So, Lord, we give you thanks for this amazing work that happens. But, Lord, we pray for the frustrations. We pray for the things that don't often go right. We pray, Lord, that there would be resilience in there. That there would be a way through. That people would come to you first and foremost and pray about it and seek you rather than you being a plan B, as often we've said. But in all ways and in all things, we seek you. Lift our eyes to the hills and see where our help comes from. Amen. It comes from the Maker, our Lord, Creator of all. Amen. So, Father, we thank you for them. We pray, Lord, as they continue in the UK with the church missions. Lord, as they've said, this isn't a holiday. It is still work and it's hard. The travelling, the sleeping in different places. They're living out of bags often. But, Lord, that work, that is so vitally important. Of spreading your gospel news around. So, Father, we thank you for them. Strengthen them, care for them, equip them, and give them all that they need to continue to do your work, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Bless you. Thank you. Well, I was just going to say, Michelle, please don't get too comfy because I think you're going to come up and lead us in word this morning. If you do have your Bibles in front of you, please turn to Psalm 121.
My help comes from the Lord, a song of ascents. I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. Amen.
Father in heaven, we bow our heads and our hearts with much gratitude. Why? Because of Jesus, who is our Savior, our Lord, and our King. We're so grateful that you are our ever-present help in this time of trouble. We thank you that we can draw near to you because of the blood of So, Father, in the name of Jesus, we ask that you would speak to us through your word and that you would transform us. And we also ask that you would use us as instruments of your peace, for we are the only ministers of reconciliation in this community. So we ask that you would empower us, that you would embolden us, that you would encourage us, that you would be all that you are, that we would see what is in heaven be manifested in the body of Christ. And we dare to ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. It's my pleasure this morning to share God's word with you. We thank you for your minister, David, and on behalf of the leadership here and members of Swallowness, thank you for having us. Thank you, seriously, because without prayer, without support, you know we wouldn't be here. And also on behalf of BMS, I want to say thank you. Thank you for your prayers. I don't know, you people pray in small groups, big groups, whatever you pray. As the Lord prompts you, thank you. Seriously, we are so grateful, especially this last year. I know that there's been communication coming to our inbox. Michelle's my administrator in this area. I don't really get a chance to deal with all that. I just want to say, before I even say anything, thank you, thank you, thank you. There have been times when we don't know what to do, and somehow the grace of God enables us to just to take one more step. I believe that you've been journeying through this book of Psalms. Most of them have been written by David, not all of them. That's my name. I kind of like this book. And I'm a bit of a musician as well, so. And not necessarily a poet, but it's encouraging to hear that the Old Testament is just as good as the New. Amen? And it's where we get our richness from. Last week was Psalm 45, is that correct? Yes. Who came to church last week? Who came to church on Zoom? Wave your hands. And this morning I'd like us to see what God may be saying through Psalm 121, as Michelle has read. And it's a very famous passage of scripture, isn't it? Especially for those who have been to church more than 5, 10, 15, 20 years. And you're probably sitting there going, okay, so where's he going to go with this one this morning? And for some of you who this is new, it's kind of like a Psalm 23, you know, that one that people recite. In Latin America, during Sunday school, there's always some sort of memory verse, isn't there, that you have to remember. And because they don't read very much, they remember scripture very, very well, much better than you and I do, unless that's your culture. So this psalm, a famous, popular psalm, a psalm here, the psalmist is celebrating a God who is our guardian, the one who guards us, the one who cares for us, the one who protects us, the one who preserves us. As a pastor, I've used this passage so many times in pastoral care. It's a psalm that people use to bring encouragement, you know, and comfort in so many situations. And it's a psalm I would like to encourage you to use when you are going through your darkest valley, or maybe somebody in your family may be going through. It's a good psalm to point to. We live in a society where a lot of people are dealing with mental health issues. This is a good psalm to center yourself on. In times of distress, this is a good psalm. Where God seems to be absent, but he is there, but it seems like he's not there, this is a good psalm to hold on to. Or even for those who are preparing to die and leave this earth and to spend their time with the Lord for eternity, who have that blessed assurance, this is a good psalm of transition. This is a good psalm to communicate good words in a very, very challenging and painful place. Today, I'd like to share a little bit of kind of my experience in ministering in the Peruvian Amazon, especially in the city of Iquitos. In my first years is always quite interesting. It's when you find out what it's really like. So before then, we had all these aspirations, all these things we're going to do, and then in the middle of the first year, you find out what the reality is like. So in my first year, I remember having some problems with my prescription glasses. There's no Specsavers there, okay? So I got these prescription glasses and they were dark glasses. And because the sun is so strong there. And something happened. I think I went on a river trip because part of our role is to go on these big boats, and you may have seen them in our prayer letters. And my glasses broke here and the screw came off. So I kept screwing it in, kept falling off. And I thought, you know what, I've got to find an optician to fix these glasses. That's not that easy. So what I did is I went out in the side of the street and I found a local taxi. They have these tuk-tuk cars, these tuk-tuk, we call them motor cars. And these guys know where places are. So I said, listen, can you take me to a place where I can fix these glasses in my broken Spanish? And he goes, oh, don't worry, I'll take you. So he drove me around the city. And then next minute, I arrived in this really noisy market area in a region, in a part of the city called Belén, which is, in Spanish, is in English, is Bethlehem. Trust me, I don't know what Bethlehem is like, but this was such a hustly, bustly place, noise, smells, all sorts of things going on. But in the corner of Belén, where he dropped me, is where there's all these men, and what they do is they fix your glasses for you. That's all they do. So he dropped me off. The guy took my glasses off me and he started fixing the glasses. And it's not your conventional kind of machine. He got his lighter out and he started to bend the, just bend it like that, yeah. And that, just bend it a little bit more. And then he found a screw off another, So I'm watching him doing that. And I'm thinking, okay, hey man. I mean, what do you do? So if you've ever been in an uncomfortable situation, you panic on the inside. And there's the dense noise and you realize you're the only one there that is a foreigner. So in that context, I'm there watching him fix my eyeglasses. So I sat and waited and waited and waited. But in this passage, I'm bringing you back to this passage now. In this passage, in verse number 1, we find the psalmist asking a question. And then immediately, if you can see in your Bible, the question is answered. To start with, it's kind of like there's two voices. There's the voice that comes out in the call of the question. A bit like what happens in the middle of the night when you don't know what to do. You ask yourself a question, like, well, what am I going to do? And you kind of answer that question, don't you, sometimes? And sometimes if you're feeling full of faith, you answer the question like, I don't know, God is with us, or, you know, he's my rock, my salvation. Or if you're not feeling, feeling so encouraged, or going through a really challenging, I'm laughing. Sometimes humor is the only way we can see ourselves through. And if you're really going through a really challenging situation, you actually answer the question, or somebody will answer the question for you. But in this passage here, we see, I lift my eyes up to the hill. From where does my help come from? That's the question. Or that's the call. And then we see in verse 2, the response. My help comes from the Lord. And in this translation, who made heaven and earth. We see the same thing again. 3, he will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. That's the call. And then there's a response. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. And we kind of do this in our church settings as well. We say things like, the Lord is good, and you say? Well, I was going to say his mercies endure forever. Because you can have, God is good, and all the time. Okay. You either know it or you don't. But there are different ways that we respond reading. I mean, that comes from another psalm in Scripture. The Lord is good and his mercy endures forever. Or the Lord is good all the time. And all the time, he is risen. Amen. So we this is kind of how we are, isn't it? And this is this way that we join together, the voices join together in harmony. Which is kind of what the body of Christ is supposed to be. We are to harmonize as we proclaim and demonstrate his love and his compassion to the community. Can I get an amen? Amen. That's the goal, but it doesn't always happen. Because even me and my wife fall out. But we're in harmony. I'm trying to communicate the reality of this psalm. The call isn't always responded in the right way. But we see the psalmist here, a human being who has a heart and has a revelation that the Lord is not only to look up to, but he is the one who brings us through. He is the one that is dependable, the one who is sure, the one who is the guardian, the one who guards, the one who cares and protects. This style of dialogue is nothing new to us. And it's something that we can use not only individually in our devotional life, but we can also use this in our family. For example, one of the things we had to do because COVID was so bad, so terrible in Iquitos, we found ourselves grumbling and moaning and bickering. I don't know if you did that. Yeah? I'm trying to communicate the reality of our Christianity. And how this psalm can enrich us. So what we had to do is find ways of being grateful and being thankful and declaring the wonders of the Lord and declaring the things that he has done. So this psalm is something that we can go to. This psalm is something that we can draw from. And this psalm is something that can help us as we journey through the highs, thank God for them, but also the lows. The joys, and also the lows. The question here really is, brothers and sisters, this morning, where do we get our help from? Or where do I get my help from? Or who will save me? Who will rescue me? Deliver me? Restore me? And redeem me? For there are many voices. We were talking about the call and response voices. There are many voices. Some of them are good. We know that the Lord is good. But there are other voices out there that also respond to our cries, our crisis, and even our joys and our triumphs. The poet makes it clear that he knows and he chooses to celebrate the only one God who has the ability and has the authority to faithfully perform this. I move on to the hills. The hills mentioned here, I think it's in this translation, the ESV speaks of the hills. The King James Version uses the word mountains, and also the Spanish Bible uses the word mountains. And these mountains or hills, for some, have reflected it's a place where the Lord sits. It's a place of position. It's a place of strength. It's like he's on the throne, our Lord Jesus. He is Lord and he sits on the throne. In this particular culture, it was seen as a place of position. This is actually seen in the life of Israel. Mountains, as I said, are high places. You know the story of Moses, don't you? Where he went up to the mountain to meet with God. And this kind of narrative is seen and communicated by the psalmist. On the other hand, brothers and sisters, this same hill and this same mountain in this passage can also be seen as a place of distraction, a place of counterfeit, a place where you can be tempted, a place of false assurance. This same mountain can be seen in the same way, or even a false god. You see, for some, looking up to the hills and the mountains could be seen as looking up to the strength that is seen not only in creation, in the mountains and the hills, but also seen in material things. It could be seen in our position. It could be seen on the titles that we have before our name and the titles that we have after our name. It could be seen in what educational background. It could be seen in what class you are. And we yield to those. It could be seen in the security of my theological books behind me. It could be seen in how much money is in my bank account. So my assurance, my peace, my confidence is in things rather than being in the Almighty God. You understand what I'm saying? And it's so easy for you and I to do that. You may have inherited it. Or you may have won it, but somehow you're grasping for it because that thing that you have or that thing that you're desiring for is the thing that drives you. So in one way, it could be seen that the things that we're looking for is actually not the Lord. And we can sometimes see them, that is the promise that the Lord will give me. And we see that so clearly in the Israelites. When they received the blessing from the Lord, you know, in Deuteronomy chapter 8, 18, it speaks about the God who gives us wealth. And as the Israelites receive the wealth, they forget the Lord. And isn't that how we are? Let's just reflect on that sometimes. God wants us to obey him, whether we have or whether we don't have. Whether we have titles or whether we don't. Whether we live in a big house or in a small house. Whether we live in the slums of Iquitos or whether we live in the wealthy Westminster Belgravia next to the Queen. Because you know as well as I know, that is of no importance when we talk about our eternal significance. So back to the story. Remember the story of the glasses? The glasses. I haven't forgotten that one. I'm waiting for my glasses. The man fixing them begins to ask me some questions. You see, he wants to check that I can speak Spanish, because if my Spanish is good, he can't rip me off. And I know that. So I've got to work on my Spanish. So he asked me, "So what's your name?" That's easy. "What do you do?" That's not so easy. Because is he a Catholic? He might not like me. So he might, because of the influence of Catholicism and a missionary coming in as an evangelical, there could be some problems. So you know, he says, you need to give an answer for the hope that's within you. You all know that, don't you? Maybe I shouldn't. Maybe I should just keep my mouth shut. And you know, you live in a secular society, you will know that it's not always easy to stand up for Christ. I'll say amen to that. It's not easy. So I told him, I'm a minister, I've come from the United Kingdom, and I minister in churches, Baptist churches in this city. There's actually one in Belén, I'll be ministering tomorrow. He's fixing my glasses. "Your Spanish is very good." That means it's bad, by the way. I found that out later. I'm still 1 year in. Then he says, "Right, you're going to preach now." I says, "No, I'm going to preach tomorrow." "Yes, 10:30 in the morning, you can come to my church and you'll hear me share God's word." "No, you preach now." I says, "I don't have a Bible." He goes, "I've got one." So he pulled out his New Testament, blue Bible. He gave it to me. "You preach now." Now, how many of you have ever prayed that God would use you in this way? Stop praying. No, I don't mean that. I mean that when the opportunity comes and your Spanish is not good, and perhaps there was a crowd around me, and it's great to have a crowd when you can speak. But this is where you see the Lord use you, don't you? You all know that, don't you? Thank you for your prayers. So I'm there. What do I say? So I went to Psalm 121. That's the only one I could think of. Because I looked at the poverty around me. I look at people on drugs. I look at prostitutes over there. I see people. I'm thinking, I've got to give some hope. And in this, I'm going to point them to Christ. So I did the best thing I could. And people were drawn. And people were listening. And some were weeping. And I'm thinking, this is awesome. And then the man who was fixing my glasses, he started clutching the Bible. He says, "You good man, you good man, you good man." He says, "Sit down." Huh? And I'm thinking, God use me, that's awesome. Then he asked me, "What is a mountain?" He said, "What is a mountain?" I says, "Mountain, oh, it's there, look, montañas. Say it again, las montañas. Montañas. I says, "That's easy. A mountain is, you know, it's like, you know, he's never seen a mountain." I realize he's never seen a mountain in his life. Ever. You see, in the jungle, there are no mountains. It's just low-level jungle. He's never left the area. So how I'm explaining a passage of scripture to him, showing him about, you know, the strength in God and the mountain. And he's never seen a mountain. So I was mortified. I was thinking, I was a terrible sermon. A good poor context. God, you're going to have to help me. It's the reality of sharing the gospel sometimes in a different culture. Looking at the context, this particular passage here. Many people needed hope. And the area was really desperate. So I just thought I'd use Psalm 121. A hill or a mountain is not understood. But somehow God sovereignly used this passage of scripture to touch these people. You know, there's mountains in the Andean region. You know, we have in Cusco and Machu Picchu. Some of you know that. But to this man, it meant nothing whatsoever.
Some Latin American Christians have found great comfort in these Psalms. I'm just talking about the context that I work in. And the stories of the Old Testament. You know why? Because we live in a country that is so fragile and insecure. From the political perspective, we have had 4 presidents in 5 years. Okay? Coup upon coup, unrest, all sorts of things. The poor are being oppressed and will continue to be oppressed until Jesus comes. They're crying out for justice, and they cry out by protesting. And the stories in the Old Testament of the liberation of the Israelites speak so much to them, and they bring real comfort to them. As many are hoping that one day there will be a change that will not just touch the church, but will also touch the state. The God who seems absent to the Latin American, to the evangelical Christians, is the Lord who is their guardian, who grants and cares and protects them when it seems to be going, as we say here, south. So let's just conclude by looking at verses 5 to 8. The Son to the psalmist, as we look at verse 5, it communicates the Lord is our keeper, the Lord is our shade on our right hand, and the sun shall not smite you by the day or the noon by night. The Son to the psalmist here is seen as a threat due to the severity of heat. And today is going to be a hot day, yeah? It's going to be hot. So the government has already told you to drink water. As I'm driving, I'm being told, don't drive when you're tired. Doing a lot of driving. And there's so much warnings. So sun is great, but severity of sun that's communicated here speaks of warning. And we see the Lord is the one who protects us from the imagery seen here in the sun. In Iquitos, we have severe heat. It's in the mid-30s with high humidity. And in that, you get pollution. You get people with skin problems, cancers. People don't wear proper glasses, so their eyes have all sorts of problems with their eyes. What else? I mean, for me, this is why I have to wear sunglasses to protect my eyes. The moon, on the other hand, can be seen as quite dangerous because in many parts of Iquitos, we're not really encouraged to go out at night because it's dangerous. Where we live is safe, but traveling out, especially as foreigners, not a place that we really should be in the city of Iquitos. We do go out in the touristic areas, but there are areas where we really shouldn't be around. And also, for Latin Americans, the sun is in our animistic kind of, in their animistic backgrounds, the sun is to be worshipped. And so these passages speak so much to them of a God that they understand who is to be worshipped. The rain is, and the rivers are to be worshipped. So when we communicate these passages of scriptures to them, it communicates to them a God who is interested not just in material things, as in what you and I would see as technical things, but he's also interested in the creation as well. This lens can help them to see God as the creator, not just other gods and other mystic beings. And we use this imagery to communicate them and point to them to the God who is the creator of all things. Then the psalmist continues to reflect on this word watching of the Lord who protects us by day and by night, the creator of the day and the creator of the night. And Genesis 1:16 communicates this, where I feel he draws this from. We read that God who made the 2 great lights, the greater light to govern the day and the lesser light to govern the night, and he also made the stars. This psalm can also be seen as kind of like a priestly blessing, a blessing that is communicated to the reader. And we can see here in 5, it says, the Lord is our keeper, the Lord is our shade and our right hand. But in 7, it says, the Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forever. There's this kind of invoking the word, speaking the word. We see this in the blessing as you go out, blessing as you come in Deuteronomy chapter 28. Is that correct? Yeah. Blessed shall you be in the field. Blessed shall you be in the city where we live. And blessed shall you be in the field when we go to Nauta. Blessed as you go out, blessed as you come in. So this psalm communicates something of the richness of the Mosaic way of communicating. So today, let's reflect on where we are today. It's a hot day. It's a day of change. It's a day of transition. Let us reflect on our relationship with this same God who governs, cares, and protects. For us, the maker of heaven and earth has been revealed in the personhood of Jesus Christ. As a result of the work of Jesus, who died to take our sin, we too can receive his forgiveness and his eternal peace. We too can trust in a God, our God, who is our creator, who made the heavens and who made the earth. So this morning, church family, you may want to consider your life in the light of this psalm today. It's an invitation. As you lift your eyes up with anticipation, with expectation, or with trepidation, do you see anything at all? Or do you see nothing? Because sometimes it feels like we see nothing. Do you see the Lord today as your salvation? Knowing that if you were to die today, you know with confidence that you will be with the Lord. By reaching out to him today, brothers and sisters, as we reach out to him today, we too can know and experience his peace, his forgiveness, and hope for our life. If you don't know him, there are many people here that can communicate something of that love and that work that Jesus Christ has done for you. And if you know him, can I encourage you this week to tell somebody about it? Please. Because I'm telling you right now, there's somebody you know that doesn't know this. And as agents of change, as ministers of reconciliation, God has entrusted this opportunity. I mean, I had to do it in a hustle and bustly place in a different language, and he's encouraging us to do that also. Do you see him in your joys and accomplishments? Do you see him in your achievements? Are you able to give thanks to him for the things that he's brought you through? And do you see him in your sorrow right now? He is your ever-present help in a time of trouble, even though we go through the valley of the shadow of death. He is with us. He hasn't abandoned us. He's not standing there far. He is in the middle of it. And we've seen him in the middle of it. Do you see him in your loss, and do you see them in your pain? Do you see him in your frustration when you're trying to explain something and you can't explain it and nobody understands it? Do you see him in the middle of the chaos? Does he speak to you in the middle of the chaos? Does he speak to you when you don't know how to say what you want to say? Nobody understands how you feel. What about in the political and the financial situation of this country? Do you see him there? Do you see him, the Lord, on the throne? Do you see him high and lifted up? Do you see him working? Maybe you don't see him working. If you lift your eyes to the hills, you see him in Parliament. You will see him. Because we are the only people who can see him because of our relationship with him. Amen? It's possible. We are the ones that are able to communicate what he is doing, wherever he is working. And some people think he's not working in those places, but he is. He's working everywhere because he is Lord. What about the Church of Jesus Christ? What about the Church of Jesus Christ in this community? Do you see him working? How can we assist, as I conclude, in the mission of God here in this community? How can I? Well, I'm here because I was invited. But what can we do? What can we do as the body here? What is God speaking to us to do? As we lift our eyes to the hills, as we put our trust and confidence in him, he will speak and he will lead because he is the missionary God. Are we willing to pray and speak a priestly blessing over our church and family? And how much do we trust that Jesus is the head of the church? How much do we trust that? That whether I preach or whether I don't preach, whether I abandon the Lord, whether I reject him, he's still going to continue his work. I'm not indispensable. If I leave Iquitos and go to another place, the place is not going to fall apart because I'm not Jesus Christ. He calls, he equips for a season, and he moves on and he chooses who he wants because he's Lord. He orchestrates everything. If it's time to step down, I need to step down. If I need to stand up, I need to stand up. He orchestrates who he wants for his glory. So as we think about this passage this morning, there's so much to reflect on. And I don't know what God is saying to you today, but I thought it might be an idea for us to bring our hearts to him in prayer as we think about communion and as we think about the strength that we can receive from him to go out and minister for him. So, Father, we thank you for the opportunity to hear from you. We thank you that it is you who moves in us. It is you that wills and has your being in us. We thank you that you are faithful and true. We thank you for the privilege that we have to be tools and workers in your vineyard. We ask that you would speak to us afresh of that assurance that we can have in you, that you are our rock and our salvation. Through the highs and the lows, may we know and sense your peace. We pray that you'll also lead us on with courage and boldness to proclaim your gospel in the places and the spaces that you would want us. Thank you, Father, for hearing us and answering us. In Jesus' name.
Thank you, Dave. There's, lots to unpack there. And we will unpack some more of that next week as we're looking at Psalm 23 in the continuation. So the Lord is speaking mightily.
Yes, Jesus, as we gather around your table, it's you that invites us. And Lord, as we come, we often wonder, how shall we come? What shall we bring? What can we say? What can be sung to praise your name? And all you simply say back to us is, come, just as you are. Because as we come to Jesus, as we find ourselves in Christ, we find that we are complete in him. In anything we ever need, in anything we will ever need or want, is all found in Christ Jesus. That's why he simply says, come, just as you are. We want to give, we want to say, we want to do so much that often things can get in the way of that. But that we simply come, we simply be, and we simply receive from what the Lord passed on to us. Do take a seat as we hear that as the disciples were with Jesus on that very night, they were in the large upper room that was furnished and ready and prepared. And as he was there with them, with the 12, he came. And as they were reclining at the table and eating, Jesus, he took the bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said to them, take, this is my body. And when he had given thanks, he took the cup again and given thanks and drank it and said to them, that this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many. And he there says that truly I say to you that I will not drink again of the fruit of the vine until the day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God with you. This is what Jesus is saying. This is what Jesus has done. As we heard at the beginning, he laid down his life only to be able to take it up again. He took the bread, and when he had given thanks, he had broken it and said, that this is my body broken for you. Take and eat of it in remembrance of me. He took the cup and he blessed it and he gave thanks and said, this is the new covenant which is poured out in my blood. Drink it in remembrance of me. Because I won't do any of this again until I do it with you anew in the kingdom of God. With each and every one of you. He assures us of this. He promises of this. And so as often as we come to this table, we do so with thankful hearts of who Jesus is. For what he has done, but also for what he will do. Let's give thanks. Lord Jesus, we simply come as we are. But we come, Lord, knowing that we are cleansed in your righteousness. We are clothed in your righteousness. That doesn't make us bigger and better than anyone else, but yet, Lord, that we are found in you. We identify in you. Our identity is in you. Because from the very beginning of time, when you was there with Father and Spirit, you created us in your image. In your image, you created us. And so, Lord, whatever state we may find ourselves in, may we be known that we are clothed and fully in you as you are in us. And we give you thanks for these elements, this bread and this wine, that would represent your body and your blood, which has been poured out for that death upon the cross. Once and for all. And so we, Lord, gather and we remember your body together. We remember of what you have done. And we remember and partake as an assurance of a foretaste of what will come when we do this all anew with you. So, Lord, we give you thanks as we partake of this now in remembrance of you. Amen. As always, the bread is gluten-free. As it comes around, please do take. But if for whatever reason you can't, please allow the elements to pass without fear or embarrassment. As we receive the bread, we'll eat it, we'll take and retain the cup and keep it, and we'll drink together as a sign of our unity at the end. So take and receive the body and the blood of Christ, poured out and given for all. And so as we lift the cup, which is the blood, the new covenant of Jesus Christ, poured out once and for all, we do so in remembrance, and we will do so again when we drink it anew with him. But for now, we remember for all that he has done, for all that he will do, the blood of Christ. Father God, we thank you that we can be found at your table, our thirst quenched, our hunger fulfilled, in the nourishment, for you are the bread of life, for you are the living waters of life. Lord, help us as we go forth from here, hearing of you this day, hearing, Lord, of how we can be safe and secure in you and through you. Lord, help us in our journeys to find where it is you want us to serve. What does that look like, Lord? These are many questions that we may reflect on over many times, over many weeks, months, even years. But ultimately, Lord, may we have the boldness to step out in your name and declare that the incarnation of the living Lord Jesus Christ is alive forevermore. Lord, we lift up all the many things that are going on, not only within the world, within our own country, within our own community, but Lord, we just pray not only your peace, but your strength. We pray for your truth. We pray for your word to be spoken boldly in all parts of creation. Lord, we pray that we may be messengers of your word that would take that out to people that are yet to hear, yet to see, yet to taste the goodness of you. But yet, Lord, as we have sung and have prayed that we offer up our lives in spirit and in truth, that you may do that through us. That we are no longer broken vessels, but that we are made whole and mended and made new in and through you. That by the power of your Spirit, you will continue to speak through us and to work through us, to be our guide, our counselor, our comforter, our all in all. Lord, we pray for Dave and Michelle as missionaries in your part of the world, in Iquitos, in Peru, and all the other missionaries, Lord, across your globe. We pray for ourselves as well, that you will send us forth to wherever that may be, to whatever it may be that you would have us do. But ultimately, Lord, that we would share the word of Christ, the living, transformational Lord Jesus. Lord, we want to see your fruit. We want to see your kingdom grow. And as we're reminded, as Paul said in Ephesians, Lord, as we go from here, it says that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you've been rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. And he finishes and says, now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than we can ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and ever. And all God's people said,
Amen. May you all go in peace. May you all stay safe. Be blessed and know that God surrounds you always. Amen. Thank you, guys. Thank you.